Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go on a Wednesday. The Herd brought to you by Jersey Mike Subs. Be a sub above, live in L.A. It's The Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. We didn't plan it this way. Joy and I matched today. We're wearing yellow. Just one time a year I wear it, and Joy's wearing a yellow dress. I swear to God.
You never wear yellow.
We did not plan this. It's just the way it worked out.
I can't believe it.
Something's in the air.
You know what it is? It's the summer. It's my favorite time of the year in L.A. People are at the beach.
Happy.
Happy. The sun's out.
Masks
We're
off.
Free. It was so weird. I was down at the promenade yesterday. I'm like walking into a store, fumbling with my mask, and they're like, you don't need it.
How good does that feel?
Oh, it's like freedom. Chicken noodle soup. It's great. It does. It feels like freedom.
It's great to have you in today. You ever watch the news? Especially like CNN or Fox News or MSNBC on cable, and they'll have an expert, a military expert, a political expert. They just throw that word around. Like, everybody's an expert. The other day I'm watching a show, and they're talking about UFOs, and they had a UFO expert. And I'm thinking, how can you be an expert in something you've never really seen up close? It's hard to be an expert. Like, to me, an expert is like a veterinarian with animals. That would be an expert. But everybody on these networks is throwing out expert. He's an expert on UFOs and military and foreign affairs. And I'm always a little skeptical. I'd like to introduce you to an expert. Kevin Durant is an offensive expert. In offensive basketball, that's what an expert looks like. He can dribble. He can fade. He can hit threes. He can drive. He can finish. He can slash. He is a complete offensive machine. Do you know how exhausting it is to play 48 minutes of an NBA game? How exhausting that is. That's a 9,000 calorie burn. And it's not like KD's got a, you know, extra pudding. He's the skinniest great player ever. He plays an entire game, 49 minutes, 17 rebounds, 10 assists, has to defend. And that was an all-time performance. And what's just remarkable, you know, the last five seasons in which he's been healthy at the end of it, he has been the best offensive player on the best team. So this is not a surprise. And that game, I mean, if you really think about it, now that LeBron's older and is out, there really is no competition for the best player. Because this has always been a 75-25 offense over defense league. Giannis can't shoot. Kyrie has struggled with injuries. Dame's a small player. Luka's too young. AD can't stay healthy. Embiid's got injuries. James Harden has no playoff credibility. Kawhi, he's hurt again, kind of a question mark. This is now that LeBron's out. LeBron's always been sort of the roadblock. Now that he's out, this is Kevin's league. It should be Kevin's league. The last five seasons in which he's been healthy at the end, he's been like the best player on the, you know, best team. And it was really funny watching this game last night. Did you notice how emotional Durant was and Steve Nash was at the end of that game? Like Kevin's not on the floor. He'll be frustrated time to time, but he's not a fist pumper. That's not really his thing, right? He's kind of stoic sometimes. Did you see how emotional he was? Because I think Kevin knows last night's win, they're in the finals. I don't care about Philadelphia. I don't care about Atlanta. I don't care about the Bucks. I think Kevin knew, I gotta buy time tonight. Kyrie will come back eventually. It's probably the next series. And Harden was obviously going to be rusty. He was, that first quarter, it was like, has James ever played basketball? I think Kevin knew, can I buy us a night? That's it. I just got to get us a night. If I can get us through this, it's the same way I look at the football season. When Joy and I go into a football season, you can't take a day off for 5 months. And I always look at Thanksgiving. If I can get to Thanksgiving, I'm not sick. I'm ready to go. I can see that the next Monday I show up after Thanksgiving, I can see light at the end of the tunnel. I can see Christmas vacation. I thought Kevin Durant at the end of that game, he knew, okay, if I can get past tonight, Harden's not going to be really good. He's not going to be 100%. He's not going to have his timing. He's not going to be able to really defend. And he got him through it. I mean, that's what an offensive expert looks like. To be that effortless and that efficient in the biggest game of the year against a supposedly great defensive team. Again, what's amazing about great players, and I know we talk about them nonstop, but I've said this multiple times. Does everybody understand how much greater like Peyton Manning, Brady, Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan, Durant are? LeBron, think about this. Every time Kevin Durant in his entire career after maybe his rookie season goes into a game, the whole game plan is stop that guy. And nobody can. I mean, that's what greatness is. Kobe, for most of his career, we got to stop Kobe tonight. You looked at film at Kobe. Nobody was sitting around breaking down film on Derek Fisher or Brian Shaw. When you really think about how great Peyton Manning was, he got everybody's best shot. Like I've talked to defensive coordinators. They're like, oh, yeah, it's Peyton Manning week. It's Tom Brady week where you don't want to be humiliated. Like, Milwaukee does not want to be humiliated when they play Kevin Durant. Harden's not 100%. Kyrie's not playing. So Milwaukee, this great defensive team, knew, just stop Kevin. They couldn't stop him. They didn't. There wasn't even a speed bump. I mean, what you watched last night is the Jordan 63 points against the Celtics. He lost that playoff game. Everybody knew Michael, you got to stop Michael, we can win. Nobody could stop Michael. That's why when people come up to me and go, you guys talk stars too much. I'm like, do you understand how much better, and Chris Middleton's a good player. He is a 19-point-a-game NBA player. Do you understand how great the truly greats are? Chris Middleton's not getting doubles, and he's giving you 19. Kevin Durant's the whole focus of Milwaukee last night. The coaching staff, the players, and that's what you get. I don't want to hear about UFO experts. I'm done with UFO experts. That is an expert in offense, and Steve Nash afterwards in awe.
Historic performance. I mean, he played the entire game. He barely missed. You know, we know he's capable of nights like this, but to do it tonight, you know, we lose Kai, you know, James obviously is soldiering through, you know, his ailments. We're down bodies, we're wounded. And for him to have the toughness, the mentality, you know, that's what makes him one of the all-time greats. And so this is a performance that, you know, a signature performance, you know, for Kevin. And it was beautiful to watch.
And you could tell with Nash and KD's reaction, they could tell, we just got to get past tonight. And they did. All right, this is devastating news for the Clippers. That's really bad. It could get way worse. Kawhi is out for game 5 against Utah. That's a game tonight. He's out. Utah's going to win. Now, you can't put him on Donovan Mitchell. He's going to just bring down the house. And you don't have to guard Kawhi. Now, Paul George is your primary scorer. And that is a role Paul George has not always been comfortable in. The Jazz are going to win. They're going to win going away. And according to reports now, Leonard has told teammates, be prepared. I may miss the series. That's not great. You know, we see all these injuries. I was talking to Gary Payton yesterday. Gary Payton, the glove, is a Hall of Fame basketball player. I grew up in the Northwest. He played at Oregon State and with a Sonics great player. Gary Payton played no fewer than 80 games, only 3 times in 17 years that he played fewer than 80 games. And when it was fewer, it was like 78, 79. And in that era, there were harder fouls. You got pushed around more. You didn't have state-of-the-art treatment like now. There was more fatiguing travel. And Gary Payton never missed games. And I asked him, everybody's getting hurt. Is it luck? Is it a condensed schedule? And he said something very interesting to me. He said, you know, the more power players get in any sport, the less they have to practice and the less conditioning you can demand of them. And he goes, when I played, I had to guard guys that were like Michael Jordan strong. He goes, I didn't get hurt because I was lifting. I would be in the facility for 5 hours lifting for 3. That's just not the way the game works. In the NFL, offensive lines have gotten so bad. I mean, I'd never even talked about offensive lines my entire career doing this. In the last 5 years, it's all I talk about. That's why I like the Cleveland Browns this year. Their offensive line's easily the best in football. is that why do the offensive lines get bad? We still have offensive linemen in college, great ones. But with the CBA, the players didn't get necessarily all the things they wanted, but they got less practice time. What does that mean? Well, what's the unit on the football field that needs the most practice time? Offensive lines. It's a very technical position. I mean, Myles Garrett can rush the passer in any defense. You know what I mean? But an offensive line to be a cohesive unit needs practice time. Well, in the last CBA, they took away some camps. They took away some practices. Even great college offensive linemen take longer now, usually year two, before you can count on them. And players won, but did they really? You know, the players now have more power than they've ever had in the NBA. But players have always run the NBA. But now you can't demand as much. The weightlifting, the off seasons, a lot of these guys just check out, they come back, and they play, and by the end of a season, they're banged up. Some of it's the condensed schedule. I'm not denying that. Some of it could be bad luck. But we have literally every star on virtually every team now is hurt. This is beyond condensed schedule and bad luck. Players, when they win in these collective bargaining agreements, one of the wins they always want is give me more off season, fewer practices, less nonsense. At the end of a season, that's not always a win. We know Russell Wilson, LeBron James for most of his career, and Brady don't get hurt much. Why? Because of the time they put into their bodies in the off season. I mean, LeBron, Tom Brady, And Russell Wilson have nothing in common. Two play football, one plays basketball. One's 6'9", one's closer to 5'9". You know, one's kind of skinny and tall, one's bulky and tall, one's short and squatty. But it's their commitment to the offseason, their commitment with training that allows them at the end of seasons to be strong and healthy. Kawhi Leonard, Anthony Davis, I mean, you're just, and I'm not saying these guys don't work hard, but it's got to be more than a condensed schedule. This series now, it's very interesting. Utah's going to obviously win game five. But remember, if Kawhi Leonard doesn't return for this series, if the Clippers get ousted from the playoffs, if Paul George does not step up as a primary scorer and lift them to a win, Steve Ballmer, the Clippers owner, we thought we were past kabloom stage. He's not going to just sit there. Because Kawhi Leonard, he missed 20 games last year. He missed 20 games this year. Now he's hurt in the playoffs. So, you know, this, you know, I keep saying the Brooklyn Nets are fragile. Boy, the Clippers organization is so fragile. I thought they got past it. I thought, now, okay, here we go. Now they're back. They're past the kabloom stage. And then this happens last night, and you're like, oh, boy, they're not winning in Utah. I don't think they could win a game in Utah without Kawhi Leonard. They could probably narrowly win at home without him. But this could change everything, absolutely everything. And it could change the but remember, Kawhi's got an opt-out. Probably won't opt out, but he has one. Ballmer's not going to sit there. This now will expose Paul George for the next two games. If Paul George does not play well in the next two games and Steve Ballmer's watching, they're making a move. Which, by the way, maybe Portland benefits. Maybe the Lakers could benefit. Maybe somebody in the league benefits. But they'll move him. No, they won't trade him to the Lakers, but they will move him if the next two games are ugly. Every opinion I had yesterday on the Clippers, all of it changes. You know, Joey and I always say this. Don't hold us to opinions when information changes. I can hear Jazz fans saying, well, Mike Conley was hurt. Mike Conley's not Kawhi Leonard, okay? I mean, Kyrie's great. He's not KD. Harden's great. He's not KD. Mike Conley's not Kawhi Leonard. This is a total franchise changer, a total series changer. He's the best defender on the wing in this series. He's the best get-a-bucket guy on the wing in this series. He's mostly unaffected by press and negativity. He just puts his head down and plays. What a break for Utah, and what a bad break for the Clippers. Boy, crazy. It is just crazy what's happened to these playoffs. Coming up next, nothing is everything, but everything's something. Not a good day in Miami yesterday. I'll talk about that. What do you get when you cross a Mercedes-Benz SUV with a race car? What do you get when you put a 4-liter biturbo engine under the hood of a luxury sedan? When you combine the sleek shapeliness of a coupe with the power of F1 engineering, chills, goosebumps, and engine roar you can feel in your gut. The legendary perfection of Mercedes-Benz cars and trucks fused with the motorsport genius of the world's greatest F1 race team. If you love the Mercedes-ness of their sedans, the curves of their coupes, the might of their SUVs, just 3 little letters on the trunk lid, and the power of several hundred horses under the hood elevates that passion to heights you never thought possible. No other way to express it. OMG AMG. Learn more about all their beautiful merchandise at mbusa.com/AMG. Mercedes AMG, driving performance.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Don't want to make too much of this. Just a little NFL news, couple minutes, then we'll go back to basketball. No big deal. Tua threw 5 picks yesterday at Miami Dolphins practice. It was raining, so there's that. Listen, everything's something. Nothing is everything. It's bad optics. These are the last 5 things that have become news with Tua. Week 16, bench for Ryan Fitzpatrick. Week 17, 3 picks, overwhelmed against Buffalo. Offseason, admitted he didn't really know the playbook. Yesterday, 5 picks. It's not exactly great when there was a term, tank for Tua. I'll go back to my epiphany. I really liked Tua for a long time, college, pre-draft. And then, at the start of the season, I kept getting little bits and pieces of video, and I said, it's not going to work. There's no special here. You got to be special because that's when the play breaks down. That's what Elway had, Marino's arm and release, and Peyton Manning. There's no special. Size, smaller than average. Arm, not significant. Athleticism, really, really average. Health, question marks. Now, everybody has always said he is accurate. It's funny about Alabama quarterbacks. I went back and looked at what we said about A.J. McCarron. We compared him to Drew Brees. John Harbaugh did too. Tua, it's his accuracy. What was Mac Jones? Woo! He is accurate. All Alabama quarterbacks are accurate because they have 6 seconds to throw, and their number 3 and 4 receivers are usually better than their opponent's number 1 receiver. Greg McElroy completed 71% of his throws. I went and looked this morning. We praised his accuracy. Blake Sims, 65%. Jake Coker, 67%. You're seeing a trend with Alabama quarterbacks? Woo! Their accuracy. You know, folks, when you got 6 seconds, you have a great running game, you're throwing on 2nd and 3 or 3rd and 1, your receivers are wide open, even in the SEC, because they're all first-rounders. It's amazing how every quarterback at Alabama, A.J. McCarron, guys I like, Greg McElroy, good broadcaster too, Blake Sims, Tua, Mac Jones, oh, the accuracy. I need something beyond that. The accuracy is kind of, when you go to a restaurant, the restrooms are clean. You probably shouldn't advertise that. It's the minimum I'm expecting at a restaurant. The bathrooms are clean. 5 interceptions. Not everything, but keep telling me how accurate he is. Just keep telling me how accurate he is. You got to get me something beyond that. And judging by yesterday, he wasn't that accurate. Joy Taylor with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herd Line News.
A.J. McCarron, we looked it up this morning. We compared him to Drew Brees. Mac Jones, Drew Brees. Tua, Drew Brees. I'm over that comp.
I'm over most of these comps, but yes, I've been saying, please stop comparing guys to Drew Brees and Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson. Like, it just, those are one of one. God made them, broke the mold. Like, relax on those particular comps.
Yeah, for 20 years I kept hearing this guy's the next Tiger Woods. The only thing close was Phil Mickelson, who played alongside him and couldn't beat him. Phil is like almost that good.
Yeah, that's and there's not another Phil Mickelson either.
Yeah, I heard 20 guys were going to be Tiger. It's like, no, there is. That meteor is all by itself.
Yes. So there's like so much going on in the NBA right now. It's absolute mayhem. I don't know what we did, NBA gods. What do we do? We don't deserve this. All right. There's just a lot going on. But let's start with Stan Van Gundy out as the Pelicans head coach. After just one season with the team, he led them to a record of 31-41.
Not good enough.
Failed to reach the postseason or the play-in tournaments. He reportedly had a rocky relationship with several of the players.
Yeah.
Which contributed to the decision to let him go.
That's kind of been Stan's thing. He struggled with Dwight Howard. He struggles with players, and this is not a league. You can struggle with your best players.
And certainly not anymore. So now New Orleans will be looking for their third head coach in 3 years. They finished 13th in the West last year, 11th this year. Looking at this situation, though, my first thought was obviously Zion, because as I just mentioned, they'll be now looking for their third head coach.
Yeah.
But also, you know, Ja Morant was in the playoffs this year with the Grizzlies.
Yeah.
They were 9th in the West last year, and he won Rookie of the Year. They beat the Spurs and the Warriors in the play-in tournament. Obviously lost in the first round, but they made it to the playoffs, and like that, they're going to be compared. You're compared in that way.
No question.
They finished, the Pelicans finished 13th last year and 11th this year. And Zion is doing what he's supposed to do. Like, Zion
By the
is
way,
delivering.
Zion's been great, and Brandon Ingram, it's the best he's ever been. And Lonzo Ball had his best year. So you can't miss the playoffs by that gap.
No. So they need to make major changes there, and they got to do it fast. Because most players, as we know, don't turn down that first check. But we've talked about it before. There's a lot of money outside of basketball now. It could be an unprecedented time for someone like Zion Williamson, who is,
if the Pelicans hire the wrong coach, and 2 years from now, Zion doesn't need to sign that extension because he makes so much money in shoes that he'll just say, I'll take $60 million less, I'll make it up on the shoe side, and now I'll go to a big market, they'll market the hell out of me, and I'll sell more shoes than I would in New Orleans.
Go to an owner who has some local business stuff going on, can make it all work. Like, this is a very important hire for the Pelicans. Also, Woj just reported Washington and coach Scott Brooks couldn't come to agreement on a new deal and are agreeing to part ways. Brooks' deal expired after the playoffs, so Scott Brooks is also out in Washington.
All right.
So that's the coaching news. Chris Paul has entered the NBA's COVID-19 health and safety protocols and is sidelined indefinitely.
Now, what is that? This feels like he'll be, once the series starts between the winner of the Clippers Jazz, they'll let him play, doesn't it?
Well, they have protocols in place. So everyone is talking about the LeBron situation.
It feels sketchy to me.
I don't know what's happening here, but I'm trying to like sleuth my way around and figure it out. But his isolation period is unknown so far. It could depend on the medical circumstance or if he's already vaccinated, because the isolation period for someone who is vaccinated might be much shorter than for someone who is not. I'm seeing from different not official reports, but from different people that he is vaccinated. So
that's good.
That might help for the time period.
Yes.
And of course, we don't know if he has tested positive or he's just been exposed.
Now, like,
we don't have any of that information.
You can test people now to find out immediately if they have COVID. I've been tested. I get tested all the time.
So I've been tested, I think, over 160 times.
Okay, so it's like I saw this news and I'm like, give me a break. Chris Paul should be allowed to play. If he's vaccinated, they test him.
Well, if he's only been exposed, but we don't know if he's tested positive. So we don't have any information, they need to kind of get this out there, because this is total chaos. And of course, the way that series ended and he's playing the best basketball, like you have to figure this out. So the Suns are currently waiting for the Jazz and Clippers series to end to find out who they're going to play. And so his availability for the series could be in jeopardy. So there's no official start date for the Western Conference Finals yet, because obviously we have to wait until that series ends. So if it goes to 7 games, it'll be played on Sunday. So that will likely push the start of the Western Conference Finals to the start of next week. So We don't know if he's going to miss any time yet because we don't know what the situation is. Hopefully they get it sorted out and he's available to play. But it's just the worst possible news, like disaster. So hopefully they get that sorted out. So the Bears traded up to get Justin Fields with the 11th pick, but he might be waiting before he sees the field because obviously Andy Dalton is there as well, QB1, according to their Twitter. And Matt Nagy is committed to Dalton getting the start week one.
Andy is our starter. And again, I can't predict anything, you know, that's, you know how it goes. I mean, there's so many things that could happen between today and that week one, but that's, Andy is our starter and Justin's our number two. And we're going to stick to this plan.
I don't know what's the value of digging in there.
Yeah. And I also don't think anybody in Chicago believes it. What if Fields looks great in the preseason? He'll play. This is one of these stories like, what is it? June. So much can change. If he looks great in the preseason and the fans are going nuts.
If he looks great in training camp.
Yeah.
But I don't get what's the value of digging in and saying like, he's our starter. Like you drafted Justin Fields at 11. He actually should be the starter. You're not building anything with Andy Dalton.
But somebody probably promised Andy Dalton, we'll make you our starter. We're not season long. You know, they probably told Andy, listen, Andy, you'll start week. Somebody probably made him a promise. We'll start your week one, but you are drafting a quarterback. There's no guarantees after that. That's what it feels like to me. But the bottom line is, you know, things change. Like the Clipper series with Utah, Kawhi is hurt. Nothing I said yesterday matters. We have new information.
Right.
It's a new series. Like,
right.
The bottom line is that this kid lights it up, none of it matters.
Then this is irrelevant. But that's what I'm saying. Like, why even dig in on it? Like, you guys clearly are having a quarterback competition.
Yeah. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
Nick right now joins us, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. First things first, host. So let's just talk KD. I don't really buy legacy game stuff. I think, you know, like I heard that for LeBron so many times. Oh, legacy. And it's like he's a top one or two player ever. Let's move on. Kevin Durant is one of the great offensive players ever. He's got titles. He's got MVPs. He's outplayed, some would argue, LeBron in big games. But KD was so great last night. There are those that are saying maybe it was a legacy game. Where do you fall on that?
Yeah, I don't think KD had anything to lose last night, but I do think he had a fair amount to gain if he gave us a transcendent performance, and he gave us more than a transcendent performance. It's the second most points he's ever had in a playoff game, off by one of his career high. It's the second most rebounds he's ever had. It's the most assists he's ever had. He did it all in the same game. And the most impressive number is not the 49, the 17, or the 10. It's the 48. Playing all 48 minutes when, of this generation, the only guy you've been able to rely on doing that in these spots is LeBron, who I think it's fair to say has a very different body and build than Kevin Durant. Colin, it's one of the most impressive playoff games any wing has played in the history of the league. I went through the archives this morning. I think it's better than any playoff game Larry Bird ever played. Larry had an unbelievable game 7 against the Pistons. I think this was better. I think it's arguably better than any playoff game Kobe's ever had. And for Durant, the reason that it adds to his legacy is because we've never really seen him in this spot where he is the superhero that is outgunned and outmanned. He's only played two series in his career where he didn't have an MVP alongside him. The one when Russ got hurt in 2013 or 2014, and KD had to play against the Grizzlies without him and they lost. And one series against the Spurs without Steph in round one when the Warriors were clearly better. Seeing KD have to do the Jordan versus the Celtics, the LeBron versus the Warriors in 2015 with no Kyrie and no Kevin Love was enthralling. And I was there, Colin. It's the best in-person performance I've ever witnessed. And it does, when you start talking, Colin, about the best wings ever, you have LeBron, you have Michael, you have Kobe, you have Bird, and then Durant. A performance like that, I do think Durant could at some point start to elbow Bird off that wing forward Mount Rushmore. Like, I think that is absolutely in play. He played a perfect basketball game last night.
So Kawhi is out for game five. I was telling the staff this morning, I said if players didn't have numbers, they had symbols, Kawhi would be a question mark. Personality, availability. Yeah. He's the, riddle wrapped in the enigma. You just, when he's there, he's great. You're not sure if he's there. And this morning I just said, everything I said yesterday about Kawhi and the Clippers doesn't count because the new information has completely changed. I think now, I don't even know if he's going to play the rest of the series, but game five is going to be a landslide Utah win, in my opinion. Your thoughts on his injury going forward?
Well, so a couple things. One is, I think there might be some in the moment like, hey, today, now's the chance for Paul George to do what Kevin Durant did. It's totally unfair to Paul George. Kevin Durant's one of the 15 best players ever. Paul George, in my opinion, is not one of the 15 best players currently. You cannot ask Paul George to go into Utah and carry the team. They desperately need Kawhi. They're not going to have Kawhi, so they won't. By the way, they haven't won in Utah in the last 2 years with Kawhi. So I don't know that they were going to win this series even if Kawhi was healthy. Without him, they're cooked. I think so. I think they will lose tonight. And if he's not there for game six, I think they'll lose game six. Certainly would lose game seven in Utah. I do think, however, Colin, and I think you and I might disagree on this, I think if they could have lost to Utah with a healthy Kawhi. If that happened, then I think Kawhi's free agency decision is a real decision. Like, man, we've lost in the round two twice. Neither time were we playing some juggernaut team. Is this the best place for me to win a championship? But if they lose because he's out after they'd won twice in blowout fashion, I think it's actually easier for Kawhi to stay with the Clippers and say, we would have won the title, but I got hurt. And so I think that obviously the best thing for them is he doesn't get hurt and they win. But if they were going to lose with him healthy and lose with him injured, I think for long-term purposes, it might actually be better for Kawhi staying with the Clippers that he's going to miss a game or two.
We're both dads, and I've joked before with kids, you have to constantly adjust your expectations. When my kids were five, I thought they were going to be president of the United States. By 10, I was hoping they could be president of maybe a small company. And by 15, maybe they can be president of a frat house someday. But, you adjust your expectations. Sure. I look at Milwaukee.
That's right.
We've got to readjust what they are. They're not a great team. They're getting so many breaks. They still can't win with breaks.
They're the only healthy team left.
That's it.
It's unbelievable.
Kawhi left the East.
Everyone's hurt.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Kawhi left the East. LeBron left the East. The Celtics unraveled. Everybody on the Nets is hurt. They're still unable to win. What are they now?
Well, right now they are screwed. And I don't know. By the way, I don't think they're dead in this series because I don't know if KD can do that again. I don't expect Harden to all of a sudden be able to, like, move. I was shocked he played last night. I was even more shocked he played 46 minutes. But that loss last night was so indefensible in every facet. Offensively, Giannis, at the end of the game, was clearly spooked out of going to the line, which is why he took the fadeaway jumper over Harden with a minute 20 left instead of going to the basket. And I think it's why Barkley said it after the game. He fumbled the ball on that last possession because he was trying to rush so they wouldn't foul him. Also, James Harden is out there on one leg. How do you not attack him defensively? He's not a great perimeter defender, even a good perimeter defender, healthy. On one hamstring, it would have been every time they did it, they got a layup. I can't believe Budenholzer didn't have them do it repeatedly. And lastly, Colin, they didn't double team Kevin Durant once the entire game.
I know.
They only sent help his way a half dozen times, and KD took zero jump shots when they sent help. if Jeff Green's going to beat you, Jeff Green's going to beat you. But the guy, the top 15 all-time player who is shooting flames out of his eyeballs, get the ball out of his hands. Like, I couldn't believe it. And so if you're Milwaukee, you're like, all right, our superstar has a giant hole in his game, and our coach, year after year after year in the postseason, can't make the obvious adjustment. That's not a great place to be. Now, they are the only healthy team left, and maybe that is going to be what matters, and maybe Giannis will have a brilliant game six, but man, up 17 with 7 minutes left in the third, and the other team's got one guy. You can't lose that game, and they found a way to lose that game.
One quick football topic. The NFLPA, the Players Association, released their first influencer hot list in 2020.
Is this about Brady?
Wait, time out. Okay, finish the story.
Why do you always do this to me?
Okay, so they looked at total engagements. Forget that Brady's number one in the league, which is kind of amazing because social media is a young person's game. He actually finished ahead of Patrick Mahomes, who is viewed as much cooler and lit. So what are you mad? What do you make of the fact that old man Brady, even in the young man's game, beats Mahomes? It's kind of fascinating.
Well, here's what I make of it. And I two things. And neither of these things are going to be very professional. But this is it was not professional of you to bring up this non-story just to troll me.
Number one.
First of all, Joy, if you could, in the remaining 2 hours and 20 minutes on the show, try to use some of your sources to dig into the actual metrics of this to see how many of these engagements are actually from Colin Cowherd. How many is it Colin liking and re-liking and liking again Brady tweets?
Comment
like, how much is
emojis?
That? That's first of all. Second of all, and this is the part that is not really fair to my friend Colin, but whatever. I'm not on a lot of sleep. I was at the game last night, and this is unnecessary. I would just like the audience to pretend for a moment that ranked number one by the NFLPA in social media engagements was not Tom Brady, was not Patrick Mahomes, was, say, Baker Mayfield. Would Colin think it's a good thing? Or would Colin be like, oh, Baker, more interested in the old Twitter twatter than he is the old quarterbacking? But no, his patron Saint Brady's doing it, so it's great. It's why he's the GOAT. It's so ridiculous. I can't believe you squeezed this topic into this. It's unbelievable.
That, you know, he makes a good point. If it was Baker, I may have been a little – well, Tom's also got six rings, so you're allowed –
when you have
seven. My bad, I lost count.
Championships,
seven.
Okay. You're allowed to do the Twitter twatter. Okay.
Yeah, she makes
that's
a good
great.
She makes
nice yellow guys.
Thank you.
Yeah,
right.
I missed the memo today. Tell me next time.
Not to do guys. This on purpose.
Nick Wright, good stuff. First things first. Yeah, Brady finished number one. It is interesting. Some of these guys finishing high. Like, I'm surprised Lamar Jackson's top 10 because he doesn't seem interested in that stuff at all. But he finished.
He
Baker's
has,
not
he has
in
a lot
it.
Of endorsements, though.
Oh, okay. So J.J. Watt, obviously. Russell Wilson, who's very good. Always has the right. Gronk, Beckham, Cam, Juju Smith-Schuster. Probably more than he should. DK Metcalf's insane, an athlete, he's young. Lamar Jackson 10. Baker's not in it, which is
that actually is surprising because Baker has so many commercials.
Yeah, you'd think he'd be in it. All right,
but yeah.
Aaron Rodgers was a little too glib for my taste yesterday. That is coming up. The Herd.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Okay, this is noteworthy. This is kind of breaking. Shams Charania, who breaks a lot of NBA stories, say the Clippers fear Kawhi Leonard suffered an ACL injury, done for the season. That changes everything. Utah wins the series. Like, look, listen, Utah's a good team now. Mike Conley's getting healthier. Donovan Mitchell has some rest. Utah's got the best home record. This changes the series. Like, this is one of these classic, you can't hold us to yesterday's discussion. We have new information. Utah's going to win this series. So Utah, somebody, three games left. Who's going to win two? Utah gets two home games. Now they're healthier. The best total player in the series is out. He's the best defender. He's the best offensive player in late game situations. Torn ACL, that's what the Clippers fear. And so that's the very latest.
Tragedy.
Yeah, out. If you have an ACL, you're out indefinitely. So
yeah, you have to have surgery. Yeah, you can't play on a torn ACL.
Yeah,
and Kawhi will be the eighth different All-Star to miss a playoff game this year. That's the most in a season in NBA history. Chris Paul will be the ninth.
But the NBA was in. So let's say, like, I think it's more than just condensed schedule, but that's part of it. The NBA was trapped. Because what Adam Silver told the players is, if you don't want to start till this date, the owners are going to have so much power in the next CBA. There were certain dates that were important. You have to play a certain number of games for, you know, owners have, you got to play like 70 games or owners get, I forget the exact wording, but they get more power. There's revenue advantages to the owner. So Adam Silver said, we're going to have to suck it up here. It's a pandemic. We're going to have a short off season. We're just going to have to get to 70 games minimum. Now, a lot of the stars sat out games, and a lot of people criticize stars for doing that, but they didn't have off seasons. They usually get 120 days, even to get to the playoffs. You get a lot of days. Now they get 70. And for the teams in the bubble, like Miami, they had a lot of injuries early. Lakers, the teams, Boston. So a lot of the teams, Denver,
yep,
the last four teams had a lot of injuries. So, and I do think that's some of it. But we've seen a lot of injuries over the last 3 or 4 years. I mean, the Toronto Raptors are NBA champs because of injuries. Klay Thompson, KD got hurt.
Yeah, I mean, the injuries aren't new, but this is extreme. This is a lot. And I think it's a combination of, you know, guys just get injured and condensed schedule and coming back so quickly from the bubble. And matched with, we probably picked the worst time to start hating load management. Like, this was load management probably needed to be carried on for a few more years until we were out of the situation.
Because you have stars and secondary stars hurt, the stars that are healthy are asked to play more minutes.
Yep.
Like, KD had to play 48 minutes. So there's a convergence of a lot of things here, but Kawhi, they fear, is out indefinitely. That completely changes the playoff series. That feels like Suns, Jazz. By the way, they were the top two seeds. You know, it's not the end of the world. They were the top two seeds.